Well, good morning. My name is Michael Westfall. I'm the youth pastor here at Grace Point, and it's such a privilege to be able to be here with each and every one of you guys this and gals this morning. And I wanted to first just give you a little bit of a camp update. Pastor Steve sends his greetings, and he wishes he could be here this morning. But hey, everybody needs time to fellowship and be in community and get some rest. And so that's what he and Debbie are doing. But they say hello. And I actually got the chance to be on their campsite this weekend, my wife Krista and my son Mike and me. And it was a lot of fun getting to know them better. But it's been a wild weekend. It's been amazing. I mean, Friday night, we did a huge dinner together, just getting to know each other. Just Saturday, we had this huge, you know, game time together, four teams just racing for the torch to see who could win. Saturday night, we had service together last night, and you should have seen Pastor Steve. You guys would have been proud. He was up at the beginning. I don't know if a lot of you know Pastor Steve very well, but he really loves camp, and he loves camp songs. And so you would have seen him doing, you know, Waddle Atcha, Waddle. Have you guys heard that song? Doodle. Yeah, he was leading everybody, and the kids were loving it, and you would have been proud. So this morning, though, in light of where we're going, I thought it'd be interesting just to share with you what I was speaking last night for the camp out. I actually had somebody do this live. If you guys know Spencer Ribley, I think I can. Do I point that way? Oh, go back. Okay, so I had Spencer Ribley come up, and basically he didn't really know what he was getting himself into. But I basically just told him, all right, Spencer, you know, we're gonna be going to the lake right now, and I want to have you carry some things to the lake for us. And he's like, yeah, okay, I think I can do that. You know, I'm pretty strong. And so, you know, I had him put some goggles on. I slapped a backpack on his bag. You know, he was gonna need a life vest because, after all, next came, you know, one of the things he might be going on. Or, you know, we need balls and stuff like that. And so, you know, he's really trying to make this work. He thinks he's going to be able to take all this stuff down with him. He's got a hula hoop for the kids and one of those little swatty things, keep the kids off him, you know. I mean, another reason why he might need that life jacket. So, you never know if you're going to need a loud siren or, you know, to be able to talk to people. And, man, he's just really struggling. He even dropped the life vest. I had to pick it back up for him. I mean, and then he was trying to put it between his legs. I was like, Spencer, this isn't going to work. You know, we might need some water, Spencer. So, you know, and then eventually, you know, we got it all on there, and he starts walking. And I was like, Spencer, you know, start walking to the lake. We'll see you later. And I was like, Spencer, wait. You forgot the cooler. And there was like all kinds of ice, and well, he couldn't have carried it. And then this was classic. He fell over, and all of a sudden the siren goes, woo-woo-woo. I was like, afterwards, I was like, Spencer, did you plan that? He was like, no. He's like, I didn't plan to fall. I didn't plan for the siren to go off, but it was perfect. It was so perfect. But how many times in our life do we do that same thing? You know, I mean, but obviously there's no way he was going to be able to physically carry all the, I kind of set him up for failure, but there's no way that we're going to be able to physically carry all that stuff. But I think we can even more realistically relate with the fact that there's many more times in our life where there's mental things, emotional things, relational things, spiritual things, even financial things that we really, when they hit full force, we cannot carry them. We cannot bear them alone. I just thought I'd have each and every one of you guys that we'd be here a long time. But some of you, just shout out, what are some of those burdens? What are some of the things that we have to bear? Or maybe some categories of burdens. Now, would somebody mind possibly getting me some water? My mouth's a little cool. Any parenting? Right, yes. Last night, somebody chimed back in. Being a, what did they say? Being a kid or something. Being, whatever, I don't know. you know, it was kind of going back and forth. But what else? What else is a burden sometimes?
Money.
Money. Yeah, absolutely. The death of a spouse or grief. Hmm? Yeah, absolutely. I don't know what he said, but pennies, yes. Those burn a hole in your pocket. Very burdensome. Illness, right. I'll take one more. Work, and I heard family as well. Yeah, I mean, there's so many burdens, indeed, that we face in our life. And the truth of the matter is at some point in our lives, we're going to encounter burdens that are heavier than we can bear alone. And it's also true in a crowd this size that some of us are experiencing these burdens right now. Right now. And we're currently in a series called Strings Attached. And the goal has been to prove how important Christian community is and how important authentic relationship within that community is. And so therefore, we've been looking at different one another passages that come up in the Bible. And we've been trying to answer this question of why ongoing and regular community is important to incorporate into our lives. And so I wanted to give you a little bit of a camp update as well. These last 2 weeks before family camp, my wife, Chris, and I, and a lot of our youth staff, we were at middle school camp and we were at high school camp. Thank you so much for those of you who prayed for us. The weeks were so powerful. But the first week at Camp Tadmor, if any of you have ever been there, I know Pastor Steve talks about it a lot, and his father has been there a lot, helped bring that camp from the ground up. And so it's an amazing camp, though. And God is still changing lives. And the theme this year was community. And it was amazing at the beginning of the week, kind of knowing some of these guys, but getting thrown into a cabin with 10 other guys. Luckily, I had one other counselor with me. And just to see how throughout the week, as they were learning about community, how walls were coming down, kids were sharing things, and this is middle school, things that they would probably never share with other people. Kids, I mean, there were even times where kids were getting emotional, which doesn't happen a lot. And God was really moving because authentic community was being formed. Trust was being built. Respect was being earned. And it was amazing the last night even. And I don't know if you guys know this, but middle school students don't do this, okay? But we had middle school students who were practicing healthy conflict resolution. We're all sitting around in a circle, and all of a sudden, a guy speaks up and says, "Hey, like, when you did that to me earlier today, or earlier this week, that hurt me." And we had another kid saying, "You know what? Yeah, that wasn't right. I'm sorry." And it went on, and a couple, two or three kids did that. And it was just amazing that those things were happening. But then also to see that when the burdens of our life get too much and we turn our life and our burden of sin over to Christ, that's an amazing thing as well. And we had one of our students who accepted Christ into her life for the first time. And it was such an amazing thing to be a part of, to be a part of this community. And so I just have lived for the last 2 weeks this community, and I've seen how important it is and how much we need it in our lives. And Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, it's the place in the Bible where the Apostle Paul instructs believers to bear one another's burdens. And so we're going to read it together, and then we're going to kind of discuss contextually why this church we're reading about needed to bear one another's burdens, and also why we too need to bear one another's burdens. Galatians chapter 2, or chapter 6, sorry. Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Through verse 5. It says, brothers, but it's talking to all of us, brothers and sisters, if someone's caught in a sin, you are spiritual, should restore them gently. But watch yourself, or you too may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he could take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. And this talks about a lot of different things in this passage, but it's basically talking about how do we go about helping carry one another's burdens, is basically what Paul is getting at. And what do you guys think? Maybe some of you know, have read Galatians before, but maybe you're not familiar with what that those burdens or what that key burden was. And so I'm just going to share a couple of things with you about the historical and cultural background of the church. And basically, Paul, the apostle, who's writing this letter, the primary reason that he was writing it is that the Jews were falsely telling the new converts, the new Christians, or the Gentiles, that they had to become like them, that they had to be circumcised before they would eat with them or have community or fellowship with them. And, you know, you gotta talk to your son here, but why do I always get all these sermons on circumcision? I don't get... Now, if you don't understand why people are laughing, listen to my January sermon. But seriously, though, so this is happening, all right? We've got these new converts who are Christians now, and now the Jewish Christians who have also received Christ, though, are not eating with them because they haven't been circumcised. And there was even a group that was going around, that was gaining force, that was gaining traction and gaining a lot of followers, called the circumcision group, that's been actually was holding to this teaching. And they were, well, the Apostle Paul is the one who actually singles out Peter in this book, because after all, he's one of the 12 apostles. But Peter was also not eating now with the Gentiles, with these new Christian converts. He had let his comfort, his fear of being persecuted by this circumcision group, get in the way of him standing up for what he believed in. If you have your Bibles, Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Paul says, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ, and are returning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all." He goes on, chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Paul opposes Peter. "When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belong to the circumcision group." Chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. "Those people are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they want is to alienate you from us, so that you may be zealous for them. It's fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good, and to be so always, and not just when I am with you." And one last one, chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. "Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised obey the law, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your flesh." So this circumcision group was going around and they were causing a lot of havoc and a lot of bad things were happening. But guys, here's the stinger. Many of us still struggle with this thing, the same things today, don't we? Not standing up for what we really believe about Jesus in our day-to-day lives because we've become comfortable in our faith. And we don't want to be uncomfortable. And let me just say this in complete humility, to myself included. But if we're afraid to become uncomfortable about our faith, to stand up for our faith when it gets tough, and to share the truth about Jesus in the Bible, then is it really faith at all? And knowing what Paul knew to be true of this church And most definitely, I know emotions were probably, they were the same emotions he was wrestling through himself. Should I eat with them? Should I not? But in this whole process of Paul working out his salvation in fear and trembling, he pens this letter to actually rebuke the church and to restate and prove theologically what the gospel means, and also what it means that Jesus' death canceled the Torah, the Old Testament law. He shares all this throughout his letter to the Galatians that they might believe the full gospel once more. And just two quick things I want to point out. We've become pretty safe in the church with rebuke. We don't want to make people uncomfortable. We don't want to step on toes. And so a lot of times, we don't restore people gently. We don't allow God's Spirit to allow us to be used, to be his hands and feet, to rebuke people because we don't want to be uncomfortable. We don't want to step on toes. And here's the second thing, though, is how often do we try to pick and choose the gospel that we believe rather than believing the whole gospel? It still happens today. So just to give you guys a quick understanding of this gospel and of this letter and how all this kind of plays itself out, because I don't know about you, but when I read books like Romans and Galatians, and I kind of have troubles like putting all the pieces together, fully understanding the headiness and the knowledge of what's being talked about. And sometimes I just need to kind of be broken down in layman's terms. And so here it is a little bit. If you want this, you can always email me. I can email it to you. But basically, chapter 1, verses 11 through 12:10 is basically Paul's credentials and his call to the Gentiles. And he's saying it's not about external appearance anymore, but it's about the marking of our heart. No one could see circumcision. It was hidden. But the Holy Spirit living and active in our heart and lives is seen by all. Okay, then he goes on in chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, that he says that this burden that he's asking them to carry is that of including the Gentiles into Christ and into their fellowship without asking them to conform to the Jewish customs of which circumcision took the front seat. And he goes on in chapter 2, 14 through 16, to say that we're not saved by the law or by its customs, but by faith in Jesus Christ. In chapter 2, 17 through 21, he says, if righteousness could be gained through the law, through the Torah, then Christ died for nothing. And if we die to the law of sin before we can, we have to die to the law of sin before we can live for God. And this includes ceasing to live for ourselves and our sinful pleasures and our fleshly desires through the help and the power of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. So with all this foundation, then he goes into chapter 3 and 4, chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, 7, and he's providing this theological restatement, proving that his argument is true and right, that it's by, you know, receiving the Spirit by believing what you've heard, not by observing the law. He goes in, he gives a lot of examples about how that's true. I'm going to read one of them for you. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. So he's making his point, he's saying, what I'm saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he's no different from a slave, though he owns the whole estate. So basically saying, a child doesn't own the estate, okay? Because it's a child. They're not 18 or whatever the age is yet. So in essence, the child's kind of like a slave because They don't really have any of the inheritance yet. They don't have anything to their name yet because they're a child. He's subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. Okay, whatever age that may be. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. And he's getting at here is, guys, I mean, there is this huge estate that for the longest time, we were just children. We were just observing the law. I mean, we were slaves to that law. And he said, finally, the time came for you to inherit the estate. And God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you so that you could inherit that estate, so you could become heirs, so that you could become, as it goes on to say later, children of God. And what an amazing thing that is, that we can trade our burdens, our slavery, our sin, for Jesus Christ, and we become heirs of his family, adopted into his family, sin washed away. We are as white as snow. His spirit comes and lives inside of us, and we have his power, we have his presence, we have his authority, we have his anointing to live out this new life. So basically, he just continues on. Circumcision isn't necessary for salvation. So then here's chapter 5, verse 1. Don't let yourselves be burdened. Here's the burden word again. Don't let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. He's saying don't crawl. You're part of the estate now. Don't crawl back into being a slave, into being a child. Don't turn back to old habits and ways of living. Help each other, not be burdened again. So carry one another's burdens lovingly as we serve one another in this way. And he goes on in chapter 5, verse 6 and verse 13 to say that. It's through love. Help each other through love. Bear those burdens through love and through serving one another, which actually Pastor Brian spoke of, I believe, 2 weeks ago. And he goes on in chapter 5 at the end of it, 16 through 26, to basically say the only true solution is to live by the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. And that's pretty amazing stuff. And we can look at this letter and we can say, wow, like, amazing stuff. But, I mean, it must have been really hard for them to go through all of that. But honestly, the same thing is true for us today. I don't know, maybe, would you all agree? I mean, we need help carrying those burdens from before we were a Christian that we're tempted to crawl back to. We need help carrying those burdens, those sins, those things from before a Christian that we're tempted to crawl back to. Just like this circumcision group, just like this church in Galatia was tempted, was crawling back to those old patterns, those old lifestyles. My dog's name is Olivine. I've got two dogs. But the reason she's named Olivine is because she's all black and she's Olive for short. But she's an amazing dog. The one word for her is lover. I don't know if any of you have a dog like her, but basically she, you know, just wants to love you. She wants to lick you. She'll get on her back. As long as you will pet her, she will lay on your lap. You know, I am your princess, do with me as you wish. Basically, like, she is just a lover. And also a trait about her is when we go for walks, she is like off. She's like a reindeer. She's like a sleigh dog. She's pulling you. I mean, we tried to train her from a young age, but man, she's like not going to quit going until she gets where she is going. And there's my dog, Oreo, right next to us, who's also a rescue dog. And he's healing. He's a great boy. But she's like, man, she's off. And she's starting. And Oreo and Olivine, they get along so well. They play. And they'll wrestle each other. And they'll tackle each other. And they're in community. It's an amazing thing when we all need it. But here's the deal. Here's something about Olivine. When maybe Oreo will go to poop, or maybe after she'll poop, she might be smelling his poop as it's coming out even. And she will actually go and eat the poop. Yeah. And sometimes she'll eat his poop. And sometimes when they throw up, because dogs do that occasionally, she will eat the throw up. And then sometimes they'll try and come and kiss us, as some of your dogs probably do too. And it's kind of disgusting when you get that woof of what they just ate. And I think we'd all agree that that's pretty disgusting, right? That's pretty gross. But here's the kicker, guys. We do it too. We do it too. We crawl back to that relationship, that addiction, maybe the anxiety, the lust, or that destructive pattern. And Proverbs 26:11 says, as a dog returns to its vomit, so a person returns to their folly. And this church in Galatia was no exception, and we are no exception either. But thanks be to Jesus Christ our Lord, who's given us his Spirit. But we daily have to call out and say, Jesus, I need you. Because it's easy to walk back. And just like the circumcision group, or this church in Galatia, we also need help standing up for our faith when we're persecuted for doing so. And not so much has changed since this letter was written, but I can tell you this one thing, the people that is happening to has. We play a role in the life that we live and the destiny that we ultimately will end up at. And just like the circumcision group, whatever sins or circumstances that we're currently being tempted to partake in again or abstain from, they're definitely things that we need to proactively get help carrying. Or even be on the lookout for helping someone carry. Because sin and persecution are too powerful for us to conquer alone. Amen? It's true. It's very true. And some of us, though, we're also tempted to say that God's enough. And that if we take our burden to him, then he'll carry us through. And, I mean, this is true. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says, come to me, all who are weary, all who are burdened, and all who are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. You'll find rest for your souls. And this is true. This is true. Jesus is the foundational one who takes away our burdens. But it's also entirely possible that in the burden that you're facing now, God is saying, the reason that I've not responded yet and lightened your load, get this, is because you're letting you're not letting someone who is tangible step in and carry your burden. He might be saying, I've already given them to you. Why are you not accepting my help? And you see, if we, myself included, if we try to carry our burdens on our own, and we can become prideful, and in doing this, we're only living out part of God's plan for us. And you know why? Because God's plan from the beginning has always been most powerful and has always been lived out the most when we realize that we cannot humanly do it on our own. And when we decide and we say, enough's enough, I'm going to live in community. I'm going to be authentic. I mean, this is why Adam created Eve. God created Adam and Eve. Wow, man. I got to get my theology right here. No, but this is why God didn't just create Adam, he also created Eve. This is why Jacob had 12 sons and why they each became a tribe of Israel. It's why David had his best friend Jonathan. It's why Jesus had 12 disciples. I mean, we can't do it alone. Nor were we designed to. It's too much. I mean, it's just like Spencer up there that was on the screen trying to carry it all by himself. But why do we do that? We do it. We do it. It's so hysterical, but it's so just like, that's so dumb. Why are you trying to carry all that stuff? But yet, time and time again, we keep doing it. We keep returning to that. And this is the why behind bearing one another's burdens. It's too much. And God created us for community. So, just like the circumcision group, we need people. We need people who will step in. We need people who will keep us accountable. We need people who will help us carry these burdens so that we don't crawl back to them. And in youth ministry, I have an amazing team. I truly do have an amazing team. And I got to kind of share with some of the people last night. But there's certain things that, like, if I didn't have them on my team, wouldn't get done. And this youth ministry wouldn't be everything that it could be. It really wouldn't. And just kind of to give you guys all a way to relate here, if anybody has children, I have a 3-year-old son right now. And just trying to take care of him seems like too much. And we got one on the way. My wife's due in September. I don't even know how we're going to do it yet. Some of you have 3, 4, 5, 9 kids. I mean, I give you guys props. Like, I don't know how you guys do it. But here's the deal. In the youth ministry, we have 40-plus kids who all have burdens, all have wounds, all have lives that they're trying to live, and I can't do it alone. There's no way, there's no possible way that I could lead this youth group forward if it were just me. But man, each one of these staff, if they can find their one or their two or their three, and that's more manageable. If we can each carry that load, that burden, it becomes doable. And here's the question I have for you all this morning. Who's your one? Who's your one? Who might be the one that God's saying, I want you to carry their burdens? And here's the thing. Who's your one? Versus, who is God's one for you? Who is God's one for you? Who is the one that God wants you to help? Sacrificially carrying their burdens with them. And if this person's hard to love, God might just change your heart as you're carrying their burdens. And he might be changing their heart, your heart for this person, but he's also changing your heart too. And God's one versus our one, it brings transformation. Not only to the one that we're carrying the burden for, but also to us. And this is what Jesus did. He did what his Father told him to do. He was obedient, and he transformed eternity. So it's one thing to know, though, what those burdens are that God wants you to bear, and it's a completely different thing, though, for us to be obedient and to be proactive and to begin bearing those burdens for our brothers and sisters in Christ or those people that God places in our path. And here's a quick side note. If some of you are under crazy burdens right now, disregard all this. Okay? Your question should be, God, what one person do you want to bring into my life to help me bear my burdens? Okay, I think sometimes we get things messed up in the church and we preach one side of things and then people get really lost or fall away from Christ or they have a really hard time with the church because they're trying to live out this one thing that's been preached to them. It must be right. It's true. I've got to live out this because it's true, right? When no. We sometimes forget that sometimes the opposite side of the spectrum is just as true. And God is saying, you're not over there right now. You're over here. You need to accept help. Some of us are not very good at accepting help because we're prideful. Because maybe we don't want to be hurt, or maybe we've been wounded before and we're scared. And that is just of a reason to practice this authentic community and bearing burdens together. So just wanted to clarify that. So once you have chosen God's one person for you, or maybe a family that he wants you to focus on to bear their burdens, here's my plea. I think this is God's plea too. Go the distance. Once you find out who that person or that family is, go the distance. Okay, I want to share this with you not to like put anybody down. I mean, because we've all done this before, but I just want you to see which one's more loving, okay? Is it more loving maybe for someone who's going through some crazy medical thing or just had a baby? Is it more beneficial for someone to just come on the outside and just short term bring them a meal or two or three or even a week? Or is it even more beneficial that someone would step into their home and into their life, do laundry, yard work, clean their house? I mean, be God's hands and feet and show love for them, carrying their burden in ways they thought no one ever would. I mean, that's true love. And Chris and I, we just recently were chosen by someone to be their one. And there were many times through this transition coming here to this church. I mean, this church, God has said this is where we're supposed to be. I mean, unless the leadership says otherwise, but no. But there was several times where we couldn't have done it on our own. We just couldn't. It became too much. And this person and this family stepped in and they bore the burden with us. They did a lot of these things that I'm just sharing with you right now. And it has been such a blessing. It has been such a testimony to what the body of Christ can do for one another. And so, as we land the plane this morning, I've got some application questions for you. What sin or custom or temptation from your life before Christ are you trying to crawl back to or lie yourself into believing? This is the burden that we need help carrying so that we don't fall into sin and its temporary or its eternal consequences. Question number two. Where might you be living comfortably and dodging persecution for your faith when you really know that you need to stand up for your faith no matter the persecution? Maybe this is hitting your heart this morning. Maybe God's working on you there. Last question. If you're not feeling any burdens right now, or possibly only light burdens, who's your one? Who is your one? That's true. He's our one. Man, if we could bear Jesus' burdens, this world would be a better place. I tell you that. But who's your one? And go the distance with that one person or family, helping bear their burdens. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word that cuts to our hearts. Jesus, we praise you for your sacrifice on the cross, which brings us life. And Holy Spirit, bring your power to each and every one of us here, and do what only you can do. As we humbly let people in, allowing them the opportunity to bear our burdens with us. In Jesus' name, amen.